Text we pray the Lord be pleased to speak to us from is the Gospel according to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. Gospel of Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. I want to speak today on the theme, the action of faith, the action of faith. Luke 22, we'll begin reading at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Every Christian says he or she believes God and has faith in him. But most Christians also complain that their faith is weak, if not stale. We wished it was otherwise. We wish we could say that our faith is strong and vibrant and alive. But often we feel like faith failures. We cannot mount a greater faith than we've known before. We read or hear about people who we characterize as people of great faith, and their stories both inspire and condemn us. We wish we could be more like them. We think how exciting it would be to be able to live by faith in everything. Trust God for absolutely everything. And yet, their testimonies confirm that our experiments in faith are failures. We believe our faith will rise no higher than it is now. The problem that Christians suffer with faith is twofold. We make one of two mistakes. First, we make the mistake of totally spiritualizing faith. Or secondly, we completely remove the mystery out of it and make faith entirely about believing what we think is true. Now, let me explain. What do I mean by spiritualizing faith? Isn't faith spiritual? Well, of course it is. I mean by that statement that we make faith to be entirely something God zaps you with, some supernatural surge of power that you can feel, giving you the ability to do something beyond extraordinary. Now, there's no dispute that God does give to some greater measures of His grace, and they seem to excel in faith more than others. But that doesn't mean that faith is always miraculous or spectacular. Faith is not a jolt of heaven's power. Faith is simply obeying God. Faith is often mundane. But we, because we wrongly understand faith, don't see that. We believe if you have faith, you ought to be seeing miracles, if not daily, almost weekly. We over-spiritualize it to the spectacular and the sensational. But listen, faith is for the ordinary life. The just shall live by faith. Do you realize that your Lord Jesus spent most of His life, 90% in fact, and never one miracle? 90% of Jesus' life was unattended with miracles. No miracle at all. And yet you wouldn't say that He didn't live by faith those first 30 years of life, would you? No. He learned that faith was as much for the mundane as it is the miraculous. Now, what do I mean that for others faith is merely believing something to be true? Well, I mean that they make faith entirely about head knowledge, learning certain facts and agreeing with those facts. Some really believe They believe something to be true, and they think that's what faith is. If I believe that to be true, then I am exercising faith. It's a mere knowledge that something is true. It's nothing more than mental agreement with a fact. But this too is wrong. Because what if the fact believed is not really true? It's really a falsehood. If the knowledge you possess is false, then your faith will not be based upon true reality. And should the knowledge, well, what if it is true and factual? Should it be true and factual? That doesn't mean you have faith. Remember, the devils believe that God exists, but they don't exercise faith in Him. Just because you believe something to be true and you think you believe it is not what faith really is. And this is where we find our subject today, Peter. Peter believed, he believed. But faith in faith will never get you through the big test. Faith in faith never gets you through the trial. And that's the kind of faith that Peter had in Jesus Christ. He believed that he believed. He thought something was true, but he really didn't believe it. And so he failed. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. And so I propose this morning that we analyze Peter's faith failure. But before we do that, let's arrive once again at a definition of faith. We have to understand what faith really is if we're going to see why Peter's faith was flawed, and he ended up failing the Lord. So let me begin by just once again giving you a simple definition of faith. Now, this is not the definition of faith in God. It's just, what is the word faith? What does it mean? Because whether you believe in God or not, you exercise faith. Everybody exercises faith. If someone says to me, well, I don't have much faith, I don't have any faith at all, I would say that's not true. There's no way you can live without exercising faith. You couldn't cope with reality. There is in every human being the ability to exercise trust, faith, belief in something or someone. And so what is that faith? Well, to reduce faith to the simplest definition, I say faith is acting like something is real. That's all faith is. Faith is you acting like something's true because you believe it to be true. That's what faith is. You interact with what you consider is reality and you act accordingly. Therefore, faith in God is seeing what God sees as real and acting accordingly. In other words, if you have faith in God, you are seeing God's reality as He sees it, and you're acting as if that is true. You see, there is 2 aspects to reality. I've shared before. What are those 2 aspects? There's the visible and there's the invisible. There is the material realm that we can see, and there is the immaterial realm that we cannot see. And just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not real, that it's a part of reality. We believe that there are certain things that we cannot see that are real. The law of gravity, which we will illustrate with several times this morning. I can't see it. I see its effects. I see the results of trying to break the law of gravity. But I can't see it. But that doesn't mean it's not real. God is the creator of all reality. And He sees the visible and the invisible. So faith in God is when God lets you see what He sees about reality, and you adjust or act accordingly to that reality. This is what we see in Hebrews chapter 11. And you might want to turn there because we're going to spend some time there this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. If you are to believe in God, you first have to believe that there is a God. Your concept of reality must include the concept of God. And this is exactly what the writer of Hebrews says in verse 6. He says, if you're to have faith, you've got to believe that God is, that he even exists. In your understanding of reality, you must see that there is a God. If you don't believe there's a God, then, my dear friend, you're going to act in accordance to that perspective of reality. You will act as if there is no God. Because in your reality, your understanding of reality, there is none. Faith always acts according to what you believe is true. And so, therefore, faith sees something about reality that is true that God allows us to see. Look at verse 1. This is the very definition of faith that the writer of Hebrews is trying to help instill in his writers' minds. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is faith? Faith is the ability to see reality as God sees it, even though it's not yet materially possessed in your hand. You see, you don't hope for something that you already possess. In fact, Paul says that in Romans chapter 8. You don't hope for something you can see. Why would you hope for something you already have, he asked. So if you already possess it, you don't hope for it. It's already yours. But here he says that faith is the substance, the reality, the essence of something that you're looking forward to. You don't possess it now. But God puts within your heart that reality. And then he says, it's the evidence, it's the proof of something you cannot see. You don't possess it, you don't see it, it's not material, it hasn't happened yet, but yet to you, because of faith, you're able to see it. It's proof, it's positive, it's sure in your soul, because faith always sees what God allows it to see. And without you being able to see reality as God sees it, you cannot have faith in something you cannot see. For example, if God gave you a text of Scripture, for example, you're going through a difficulty, and you came across that verse that says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, can you see God? Can you see Christ? The Bible says that he is the invisible, immortal God. But though I cannot see him, in my understanding of reality, I believe that he is with me. And because I believe that he is with me, I live in accordance. My life is dictated by that truth. I live differently than I would if I didn't believe God is right here with me. Faith first sees what is true about reality. Look at verse 13 of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. These all died in faith. These heroes that he's talking about here in chapter 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, this is a crucial text. This is one that's often overlooked, and we ought not to overlook this. These people had an understanding of reality as God did, that even though in their lifetime they never received the fulfillment of the promise in their hands, it did not matter. It was their reality. Those promises were real to them. And that's why you've heard me say over the years that faith is the ability to possess something in your heart before you possess it in your hand. Because you see, as God gives you understanding by his word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As God grants you understanding, you see it and it's real, and therefore you change, you adjust, and act according to that truth, that reality. Which leads me to say that faith not only sees, it acts. It acts. A faith that doesn't act is not genuine faith. Hence Peter's problem. He thought he believed, but he did not act on what he thought he believed. He acted contrary, differently. Look at verse 7 of Hebrews 11. Every time God allows a man or a woman to see something not yet material, spiritual, in the invisible realm, there is always corresponding action. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet, what's the word? Seen. Not yet seen. Not yet material. Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. How did faith work in Noah's heart? How do you know Noah had faith that it would rain? He'd never seen the world flooded by rain before. This was not something that he was taught in elementary or even secondary education. He didn't receive the understanding of all of this in some kind of academic way. God spoke, and with that, faith and understanding was granted. And as a result, what does he do? He builds a boat. He acts. Because when you see realities, God sees it. It's real to you, and you have to act in accordance. The same is said of Abraham in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, because he didn't know where he was going didn't change reality for Abraham. It was real. God had spoken to him, promised him a land, and therefore, because he could see it, that was real, that was reality, he then correspondingly obeyed, and he moved in obedience. You can only, please listen, you can only act in accordance to what you believe is reality. If it's not real, you can't act accordingly. This is why the mentally insane have to be cared for and often institutionalized, because they are a danger to themselves and to others. Why is that? Because while they cannot see reality as we see it, their perception of reality is real to them. It's real to them. And therefore, they are a danger to themselves and to others because they believe their perception of reality. Because that's the way we are all made. You can only act and live according to what you believe is reality. Therefore, faith is simply believing, seeing what God sees, and acting in accordance. And if you're not acting in accordance to the truth of what God has said, you really don't believe it. And this was the problem of Peter. Let's look at it. Go back to Luke 22. Peter's faith problem was like most of us. He didn't realize that his faith was the wrong kind of faith. There are different degrees of faith in God. Different degrees of faith, just plain human faith. But there are two different kinds of faith I've discovered over the years. The first kind of faith, which was what Peter had, and it was wrong, is what I have called, I've coined, abstract faith. Abstract. Why do I call it abstract? Well, the word abstract simply means something that's thought about apart from concrete reality. It's theoretical. It's not applied. It's not practical. Abstract faith is believing something to be true but not acting like it's true. You think you believe something or an idea to be true, but you really do not believe it. And Peter's confession here is an example. What does he say in verse 33? Jesus has said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you. You're going to be tested by Satan. I've prayed for you. You'll not completely lose your faith, but you are going to deny me. And Peter responds and says, oh no, Lord. These 11 guys, they can do that, but I'm willing to go to prison for you. I'm willing to die for you. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe that when Peter made that statement that he was trying to deceive Jesus, fool Jesus into believing that he was going to be the only dedicated one? No, absolutely not. Peter believed everything he said to Jesus. He believed that it was true, that there he would be the last man standing beside Christ, and he was willing to even die with him. He believed what he said was true. What he thought was what he believed. But he didn't follow through with it, did he not? In other words, his faith was merely abstract. It wasn't based upon reality. Abstract faith is never, ever acted upon. Let me give you an example. Because I believe in the law of gravity, I don't step out of planes without a parachute. Now, to be frank with you, I don't step out of planes with a parachute. But because I believe in the reality of gravity, I don't step off of skyscrapers. I don't climb tall things without some means of security. Why? Because I believe that reality tells me if I defy gravity, the consequences and results are going to be disastrous. I heard Lance say amen. You know. You don't defy gravity. What goes up must eventually come back down. And because I believe that, I act accordingly. I don't step out of planes without a parachute. I don't step off of high-rise buildings. I adjust my life accordingly. But what if I simply think that is true, but I don't believe that is true? That's what abstract faith does. You see, abstract faith is simply based upon knowledge and mental agreement with that knowledge. And hence, the problem of the modern era of most of Christianity. I've preached this for 23 years here. You're experts at this. But I don't know, there may be someone here who's never heard this. For most people who claim to be a Christian, this is the amount of their faith. It's not real. It's abstract. They think they believe in Jesus, but they really don't, because it's not reality for them. There are many of us in this room that was true before we were converted. Think about it. You believed you were a Christian before you were actually converted. You believed that you believed. You believed that was true about you. And if somebody challenged that, why, you would argue, maybe even become somewhat angry. Because you believed that was true. You didn't believe that was a lie. You didn't think you were believing a lie, that you were false in your profession. No, no, you actually believed that was true. But was it? Not at all. You had faith in your faith. It was merely an assent to some facts about Christianity. And this is the problem. We have reduced Christianity to a quiz. If you can answer the questions on the quiz of Christianity, then you are a Christian. But beloved, that is not Christianity. There's no reality in that. All that requires is you to have mental agreement to a few facts, to know so little bit of information. That's not reality. There's more to the Christian faith than this. Jesus is real. I know he's real. I interact with him. He talks with me. I talk with him. There's a companionship, a friendship. There's communion. There's much more to the Christian faith than just a pop quiz and answering correctly. Most people who believe in Jesus Christ have this abstract faith. And when it comes to shove, when hard times, when crunch times comes, they will fold just like Peter folded. Because their reality does not include Jesus Christ. He's just up here. He's not their reality. Now, that's not just true about people who think they're saved but not. It's also true about Christians like Peter. Peter was a believer. Every Christian will confess in this room that the Bible is God's word. Amen? We all believe the Bible is true when it says that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? Each gets a little fainter each time because you know me by now. You know that there's a punchline coming, right? Blessed to give, more blessed to give than to receive. And we say, that's true. I believe that's true. But when you look at your actions, can you see if you really believe that statement is true? Yes, you can. You can look at your actions and know whether or not you believe if that's a part of your reality. If your actions show that you are not a giver, then you can conclude that you really don't believe Jesus. What you really believe is that it's more blessed to receive than to give. Because what you believe to be reality is how you will adjust your life. But if I believe Jesus, there'll be no difficulty in adjusting my life to that statement. I will give generously, not begrudgingly. I will give cheerfully. I will, because that's a part of my fabric of reality, I will act accordingly. But if I think I believe that is true, when it comes to opportunities to giving, I won't act accordingly. And that's why abstract faith, like Peter's, is so different from what I call the second kind of faith, active faith. The true faith, the real faith, is always active. And it's that way because that's the way you see reality, and that determines your action. Faith is not abstract. It's not in the mind, but it's in the heart. Now, what do I mean in the heart? Next week, I want to explain further. But it's something seated deeper in us than just knowing that it's true. It's embedded in the soul. I'll explain that next week and how we can see our faith grow with our growth and understanding of reality. But let me give you an example. If you're on a vacation trip, and you look down at your fuel gauge and you see it's near empty, and you just left a town, a city, And you think, I don't know where the next town is. What happens? What do you feel? Feel anxious. You get a little worried. Palms get a little sweaty maybe. And if you're like my car, I can push a button and it says estimated miles. You know, I can see how many more miles I've got to go. Now, I've been foolish enough, never have run out of gas, but I've been foolish enough to push that. Sometimes that may not be a good convenience to have, that button. Oh, I can go 20 more miles. One time I did that, and there wasn't any gas station, and I was getting close to the end. I really started sweating. Why? Because my perception of reality told me I'm about to run out of gas. And you know what happened? The first gas station, I didn't care how much they charged. Well, maybe a little bit. Got to be honest. Have you ever thought, they want $2.45. There may be one up ahead's $2.25. But because that's reality, I act. That's what faith does. Faith doesn't just sit there and say, I know one day it'll happen. No. It adjusts your life and brings necessary changes so that your life corresponds with that reality. Now, what if my gas gauge I know is broken? Well, I know my gas gauge is broken, and I know I just put gas in yesterday. I then don't worry about it registering empty because that is my reality. I know, and I believe it. But when we analyze Peter's failure, what do we see? We see that Peter did not see what Jesus saw. He didn't see it. And that's amazing to me because for a year and a half, he'd been telling these men that he was going to go to Jerusalem, he was going to die and be raised again. The first time, one of the first times he mentions that in Matthew 16, Peter, in fact, is the one who brings him aside and says, now, Lord, we won't have you talking like this. And Jesus has to rebuke him. But even having Jesus rebuke Peter was not sufficient. It did not open his understanding to see the reality. He couldn't see what Jesus saw. And therefore, he had faith all right. If you walk away now and you say, well, Peter's problem, he just didn't have faith. And I would say the text is telling you that's not true. Oh, no, he had faith. He had wonderful faith. His faith was simply misplaced. Oh, Peter was true to the object of his faith. You see, Peter's faith was misplaced. Look at verse 33, and you discover what Peter really believed in. Verse 33, Lord, I'm ready. I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Peter's faith was not in Jesus, but he had faith. It was in himself. Believe, please, nobody in this room doesn't have faith. You exercise it every day, whether you're a Christian or not. You exercise faith. The question is, what is the object of your faith? What is your faith in? What is your reality that you're believing and acting accordingly? You see, faith in oneself is not reliable. It's never reliable. When we are put in circumstances we've not experienced before, we often don't perform in the way we think we will. Peter had never been in this place before, but standing back looking at it, he thought, oh, I can stand when no one else will. And he really believed that. The reason you never perform the way you think you will is because you've never experienced those circumstances. Now, this is where it's going to be really crucial next week. This word experience is huge. But that's next week. Like Peter, we may think or even be convinced that we know how we're going to perform in a certain situation. However, when the pressure comes, when the fire, when the trial comes, we will always act on what we trust. You can't do any other. You're not made to do any other. When there is no time to think, you react on what you trust. Always. And if that is in you, self, then you will do the easiest and the least painful. That's all Peter did. He believed, he thought what he said was true, but when the crunch came, when the pressure came, and all he could do was react, he reacted based upon his reality. And what was that? He loved his life more than he loved Jesus. Peter didn't have the power to resist because he didn't trust Jesus. Peter's power, what was his power? In that moment of temptation, that little girl, servant girl said, you're one of those Galileans, aren't you? Peter's power at that moment was to lie. To deny. That's all his power could do. And he trusted in his power. If Peter would have trusted in Jesus' power, he would have obeyed. Jesus' power would have kept Peter from falling. Let me give you an example. An iron. Men, I know we don't, some of us don't know what an iron is. It's what our wives use to press our shirts. And you say, I still don't know. I've never seen her do that either. If the iron, it's a metal instrument that gets hot, okay? And you can press your shirt or pants. If the iron is plugged into the electrical receptacle, it has what? It has power, does it not? But nothing will happen until you do what? Turn on the switch. It's plugged in. It has power. But it's not appropriating the power because the switch is not turned on. That's true with any kind of electrical apparatus. You can plug it in and leave it plugged in. And it's going to have power. But it's not going to work until you turn on the switch. That's what faith is. Faith is the switch that appropriates the power that you already have as a believer. But the problem is, in your conception of reality, you don't have that power. You don't believe that Jesus is so omnipotent for you. You believe it for Michael. You believe it for others. You'll believe it for somebody else that you think's a man or a woman of God, but you don't believe that about you. That's your reality. And according to your reality is how you can live, the only way you can live. Am I making sense? So how do you know you've got faith? How does the faith switch turn that appropriates the power? It's not through feeling a jolt of power. It's not by feeling something. It's by something very, very simple. It's called obedience. Faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin. And when you activate faith, you obey it, because faith always sees and acts. How do I know I'm believing? You're obeying. But Pastor, I'm being honest with you. I'm often fearful. When God asks me to do something, I get afraid. Isn't that a sign of weak faith? We'll talk about that next week. But my question to you is, in your fear, what do you do? Not what you believe, not what you feel, what do you do? And if you obey, can I say to you, and I pray God opens your understanding, you just exercised faith. And friends, that is as much faith necessary as if you could move a mountain. You don't need any more faith. It's not about feeling great power and doing a miracle. It's about obeying. Believing that's true, because that's your reality, and you act accordingly. A.W. Tozer said, "Remember, you do not believe a thing rightly until you act in accordance with it. When you bring your life into line with your faith, you are a believer. But when your life is not in line with your faith, you are no true believer at all." Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "Only those who are obedient believe, and only those who believe are obedient. Faith is only real in obedience, not in power, not in miracles, but in obedience." The Lord is asking all of you in some point in your life to trust Him. I don't know what your point is. I know what mine is. I don't know what yours is. I don't. But the Spirit of God is speaking to you right now. And He's brought that up to your life. Are you trusting me? Will you trust me? But Lord, I'm afraid. What ifs? The what ifs start. You talk about gremlins. You talk about something that can be ruinous to your soul. The what ifs. Beloved, can I just be frank with you just for a few moments? I've had a lot of them over the last several months. What if this? What if you're wrong? What if this doesn't happen? What if you don't get invitations? What if you don't have enough money? What if this? What if that? I'll never forget what my dear, dear friend Mike Morrow told me many years ago. I was struggling to believe God about something I thought He was telling me to do then. It was actually RTM. And I said, "But Brother Mike, what if there's not enough money to keep it going? What if there's just no means by which we can..." This has been 6 years ago. "What if?" He said, "Brother Michael, I don't know the answers to your questions, but I can tell you this. God doesn't deal in the what ifs or the possibilities or the maybes. When God speaks, it's definitive." And I learned that through that dear brother. God doesn't, if you're having a what if moment, you can be sure who's not talking. That wasn't the Lord. God never says what if. He says, "Thus saith the Lord." It's definitive. It's clear. It's never a leap into the dark. No, it's a step into the light. Because faith first sees before it has to act. And if all you can see is Jesus standing there saying, come to me, that's all you need. Step out and obey. Step out and obey. And that's what it means to come to Christ. That's all it means. You think, well, I think it should happen this way. I'll feel this. I'll be rushed with this emotion, or I'll cry, or I'll have this great joy, or this peace will just come over me. Maybe, maybe not. But I can guarantee that if you obey Christ, you will have enough faith to be saved, because you can never obey without faith. And so if you're saying this morning, I want to be a Christian, but I'm afraid that I can't be, or I'll fail in the end, or I won't be a good one, or I can't live like you or someone else, my dear friends, those what ifs are not the voice of God. It's not the commandment of God. That's not reality. God says, come unto me, you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will, no maybes, I will give you rest. And if you come in obedience, even if you're trembling and you're not absolutely sure, but you're willing to conform and adjust your life to Jesus, that's faith. And the just shall live by faith. Amen.